I think it's okay to listen to conspiracies. I think it's smart to be open-minded and listen to someone else's idea. But when you allow the conspiracy to draw you back in the vibration of fear around the topic, then you're right back in it. Because if you're fearing it and judging it, then you know how energy works. What are you doing when you're judging something it should not be? You're contributing to it, whether it's in your life or the deep state, you know, whatever you're thinking about, that's what keeps it going. Welcome to the Stream of David podcast. I am here with Paula Kid Casey, a very good friend of mine, a delightful sparring partner. She brings it. I love it. If you get triggered about politics, stop. Don't be triggered about politics. I'm not going to say trigger warning. Don't listen. You need to listen. If you get triggered by something, that's your soul telling you, come this way, walk through this, because you shouldn't be triggered by anything. There shouldn't be any part of humanity that you aren't able to face and experience and move through.
So is my introduction that I'm a trigger? That is how
your introduction is that you and I are going to dive into some things that are probably going to trigger some people. Okay. And it's okay that we're going to do that. And I'm telling the audience, if they get triggered by something, instead of having to turn it off, listen deeper and explore why you're triggered by it. Taya, the Taya practice, which is what the streams, it's the practical application of the stream's teachings, is detuning triggers, detuning transgressors. So for anyone who might be triggered, I'm just saying up front, I'm not giving you a warning to turn the program off. I'm saying go deeper into it if you get triggered.
Yeah, let's look at a big picture in this whole thing, right? Because there's something huge going on right now. I think there's an energy we've never had before. I think there's ideas we've never seen before. I think there's courage and faith that we haven't seen before. And I'm really optimistic about what's going on right now. So I think we have been living in the shadows for so long that we don't see all the negative things that are going on. And I realize you're going to tell me the stream is going to say there's no negative and positive. But in our life, in our world, in our reality right now, there are things that we have to choose what is right and what is wrong for us right now. What is the higher level for us? What
discernment of preference. I totally agree with that.
Okay.
We're here to discern preferences.
What serves you as an individual and what serves us as humanity? And we have never seen these shadows before because we haven't had the kind of light that's on this planet that is right now. So I would like to just give a little bit of background about me. I was a divorce attorney for 40 years. I am extremely intelligent. I ran my own business. I have never presented anything to anybody that I could not back up with data and documentation and that was valid, because that was what my job was as an attorney, right? That's what I had to do. So whenever I'm presenting something and I am very passionate, I still will be able to pretty much give you a lot of background on it. So I'm assuming we all agree, David, that we are moving into a different kind of time frame than we ever have. Do you agree with that?
Humanity is changing. The Earth environment is transforming, and humanity is at the forefront of that transformation.
Yes, we're at the apex of this next level of life, and I am so excited, and I think we all chose to be here at this point in time. I think we all chose that we're here to serve a portion of the humanity that we can and to shine our light with the people that we need to. So, you know, there's a lot of astronomy as well as astrology that we have just moved into a different part of the galaxy. Our solar system goes around the galaxy every 26,000 years. And we have just moved into the part of a galaxy that we have not been for 26,000 years. We've moved out of a radiation cloud, and we get 6,000 times more cosmic energy than we have ever gotten. Our sun is getting this kind of cosmic energy. If you pay attention to, there's solar flares. Our sun is going crazy. Well, light is information. Information is what we absorb, which is what our DNA says. So there's a lot of information that our DNA is changing. There's a lot of information that this cosmic energy that we're getting is waking us up. So now there's light on our planet, and it's showing us the darkness. It's showing us these horrible things that have been going on forever that we've never seen before. And it's like walking in a room. If you're walking into a dark room, you don't know what's in the dark room, and you just kind of shuffle around and you get what you need and you leave. You turn on the light and you go, well, holy shit. room is horrible. It's dirty. There's things all over the place.
And you want to clean it up.
We want to clean it up. So I think we now have this light, this cosmic light, this source light, this Christ consciousness light that is coming into everyone. And when you're conscious of it, we get to use it. You know, we talked about this before. We can talk conspiracy theories all day long if you want to. But one of the reasons they didn't want you to go outside during COVID, I mean, how stupid is that? It's because the sunlight that gives us vitamin D, which makes us healthier, which is actually starting, it talks to our DNA. And so why do we have chemtrails? And you can call me a conspiracy theorist, David, if you want to. I live in Kansas. There are times it looks like can I say bad words?
Yeah. This will be explicit.
It's a checkerboard. There is no way. I've been around planes forever. So anyway, I just think there's a lot of things going on. And I think there's more desperation for us individuals because we are here. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, right? And there's
the human experience. If you look at recorded history, what we know in 3D, we were very controlled and have been for a while.
Right.
Government, religion, all the rules.
Absolutely.
This is what you're supposed to be and do and have and look like. And certainly in all of that control, there were always sort of people at the very top of the pyramid that were sort of pulling the strings. And everybody else below that was just sort of, I don't want to say victim. They were the ones being controlled. And that's still happening for sure.
Absolutely.
But that structure got us on this path to where humanity became, we became a mutation of our environment. We create well beyond the other beings of our environment on planet Earth.
Of course we do, because we have divinity in us.
We have a higher level. I believe everything has divinity in it, even though I do believe that the non-human entities are sort of on a path to moving up vibrationally to prepare for this level of consciousness. Whole other podcast. But those of us that are human beings, we create well beyond what the other beings of our planet create. And we created all of the structure, and everything in physical is polarized. So everything is contrasting. So the positive is having a family unit and having sources of education got us to this point where we have the ability to create all of the technology that we have now.
Well, I'm going to go back a little bit. Yes, I agree that we have been controlled by this elite, and there's this level. And I noticed in your Taya book, which I have, I just want to show everybody, I got his Taya book.
Thank you very much for your purchase.
Yes, you're very welcome. It's I have not read it all. Some of it's pretty, and I'm very smart. Some of it is very difficult for me to read. But I do know that you got this spiral in here. And I don't know if you read David Hawkins' Power versus Force and Letting Go. So David Hawkins has his MD, his PhD. He's amazing. He wrote Power versus Force, and he has what you have. It's a map of consciousness, right? Where you have apathy and grief at the very bottom. There's no energy that moves. And then you have fear. And then after fear, there's anger. And after anger, there's pride. Well, we've been living in a simulation where they have kept us in fear, right? Because fear is much easier to control than courage or hope or love. Fear is very easy to control. So whenever we decided to grow to another level, us as human beings in a conscious way, this fear has come in, which is what they use constantly. Now, I'm going to be crazy, and you've known me for a while, so I'm probably crazier than you're going to think I am.
I don't think you're crazy. I find you very engaging, charming. I do find you smart. I adore you. So, and you, we may not share the same beliefs, okay. But we don't have to.
But we don't have to what?
We don't have to believe the same to be friends.
No, I know. But I do think that we have been manipulated for thousands and thousands of years. And I think it's because, I mean, if anybody has watched The Matrix, right? We're energy cells. We are energy cells.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all that. I definitely
agree. I'm a Proctor consultant. He would get up there and he'd say, there's enough energy in your little finger that could run the entire world. And there is, because each cell has some amount of 7,000 watts of electricity.
Our belief systems keep us limited, right? We are limited only because we believe that we're
absolutely
limited.
And who limits our belief system?
I refer to the Matrix all the time. The collective consciousness of humanity as it stands today is a formed matrix.
Predictive programming. They tell us what we're supposed to fear. They show us movies we're supposed to fear. And then because we're such creative spirits, we actually create them with our reality. We are the creators on this world. And we can get into reptilians and a whole bunch of other stuff, but the negative people cannot control like we can control. And they know it. We're so special. We're spiritual beings here. And we're just starting to awaken and understand. Isn't that funny that you've got awakened on one side and woke on the other, and it's the same word?
Well, people think they're awakening sometimes, and then they get drawn right back into, because I think that questioning everything is awakening.
I
look at a younger generation that questions like never before, because they're born up to speed with their time. We've all created this advancement or this expansion of consciousness where we're awakening. I think technology plays a huge role in that, because we can communicate.
Oh, I do
in
too.
3D like never before. We get together like this, and I mean, you and I have met in person, but we can jump on something like this and chat anytime we want, compare notes, expand each other's consciousness if we so choose. We're doing that on a global scale now, almost, unless you're in maybe North Korea. I don't know what they're getting there, but we're doing that on a global scale, and we are becoming wiser. And as we become wiser, we are looking back and questioning the matrix. What I see with the younger generation is they're saying, we don't want any part of the structure. We don't want to be told what gender we are. And of course, to those of us, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. I'm like, what the hell? To me, it was straight, gay. That's it. You know, then there was transgender, and now there's, you know, there's all these other things. And that's the younger generation. I don't want to be told what I'm supposed to be based on my biological sex. So that's really out of the matrix. But what happens is, in the judgment of that experience, because not everyone's up to speed with them, their grandmother's like, what the hell are you talking about? You're not a they, you're a she. You've always been a she. I totally get that. I totally get what grandma's talking about. This is crazy. What are you talking about? So you've got these two very opposing ideas in just two generations. And the one that's wanting out of the matrix is being told that they're a victim and that they're supposed to push against, and they need to really push their agenda forward. And anybody that doesn't agree with them is limiting them in some way. And what are they doing? They're lowering their vibration. They're
right.
Being
right
back in the matrix by saying, oh, you must hate me if you don't understand me.
And they're
what
in
I
fear.
Say to them is, don't expect grandma just to flip a switch and change her whole belief system to where you are.
I agree. And here's the deal. They think they're breaking out of it, but all they're doing is playing the game. We're always playing the game, and we're never fully awakened, right? You think, oh, I'm enlightened. No, I have this little certificate that says an enlightened being that I'm. We're never right. We're just always growing.
Right. So there's been a couple of times in my journey, and not too long ago, that I thought I was enlightened, and then the universe showed me that, oh no, you're not. You're not enlightened. You may channel source, but you are still David Strickle, the human. You're going to be imperfect as long as you're in physical. Get over yourself. And then when I did that, then I was like, oh, hell no, I'm really leveling up, realizing that I am no more value to this planet than the most limited human being there is, because it's a spectrum and they're all creating the expansion. We're just playing different roles.
We're all here for a reason. And I tell you to get over yourself. So I and God both tell you to get over yourself.
Well, if I didn't have an ego, though, I wouldn't put myself out here sharing this stuff this way, because the ego plays a role in that.
That's true.
Like, hey, this stream shit's pretty good. I better get out and share it. That's not source. That's my ego saying, hey, David.
You're stepping, you know, you're very brave. You're stepping into why you're here. And there's so many people out there that need to know it's time to step into your higher selves, because we need you out here on the front line. And the front line of love, and the front line of creation, and the front line of understanding our power. And our power is just a vibration, but the vibration we had normally been in for thousands of years is fear and scarcity, because we're much easier to control when we're that way. And then they can show us something and we actually create it. They do not create, they manipulate. And I mean they in a really, really negative way. But I just wanted to go back to when you said, when the kids now that are born, there is a lot of science that, and they do it with ducks, they do it with and rats, right? So they teach the moms how to do it. And then the moms teach the next level of babies. And after three or four generations, they don't need to be taught anymore. They're born knowing it, right? So people are now born. My grandkids can take they go, oh, grandma, what are you doing? They take my they can do computer shit like this at 4 and 5 years old because they're literally born that way, right?
They're born ready. I think Abraham used to say they're born cable ready. They're ready for,
which
is an old term now, but they are. That really sparked into me. Yes, you're right. They're born up to speed.
They are.
With their time, because we've created the expansion. They're part of that by projecting in at that
and
time.
And they get it like this. They already know it. It's already ingrained in them, where I'm still trying. I couldn't figure out how to get onto your podcast today. Yeah.
Here's where I believe they get tripped up. And I believe anybody that, I think it's okay to listen to conspiracies. I think it's smart to be open-minded and listen to someone else's idea. But when you allow the conspiracy to draw you back in the vibration of fear around the topic, then you're right back in it. Because if you're fearing it and judging it, then you know how energy works. What are you doing when you're judging something it should not be? You're contributing to it, whether it's in your life or the deep state or, whatever you're thinking about, that's what keeps it going. And the only way that we're going to really end it is to stop fearing it and judging it, not celebrating it and all of that, but just saying, you only have the power that I give to you. I'm not going to give you power by fearing and judging you.
But if we don't know that we're even being controlled, so the opposite of fear is freedom, right? So you know what the difference between a conspiracy and reality is? Used to be about 6 months. Now it's about 3 hours.
It's three TikToks.
So the conspiracy theory, that literally... phrase was coined after JFK when everybody was saying it's a conspiracy.
I think it's a useful term, because if you're paying attention to science, until something is proven, it's a theory. I think it's okay to say that it's a theory.
I agree.
What we've gotten into is writing something off. Well, that's just a conspiracy theory. I'm not going to listen to that.
Right.
It was like the vaccine thing. People that were against the vaccine were the same people that would have said the drug companies were evil a minute prior to that, and suddenly, you got to get the vaccine. You've got to take it. I'm like, okay, explain this. You're telling me that all the drug companies are evil entities that are just out for profit and they don't need to be regulated and all this stuff. Fine. But then you're going to turn right around and say the same drug company that you think is evil has now created a COVID vaccine. And because you're so afraid of COVID, you say that if you even question injecting the vaccine, that there's something, you're stupid, you're an idiot, you're conspiracy theories. That did not make sense to me. I ended up getting the vaccine. I thought that's the path of least resistance for me and where I live. I'm not going to give it any power, and never bothered me. But I think everyone should have a choice.
I did too, and I didn't get it. And I knew all along. But I wouldn't let the fear control me, right? They controlled you out of fear. You've got to get it to save grandma. You've got to get it, or everybody will hate you. You can't go places, right? Well, you stand in your truth and you go, and I'm telling you, it is not out of resistance. It's out of love. When you stand in your truth, when you know why you're here, when you know why you're connected, and you know what is right, and you've done your research, you can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want to. But if I know that this is connected to what the next level of humanity is, we need to stand in that knowledge. So, the 100th monkey, right? Where there were monkeys on this island, and they'd throw sweet potatoes at them, and they'd pick them up, and they were just seeing how that they reacted. And so they went out, one little monkey went over and washed it in the water, and it got the sand off of it and had salt on it, and that he loved it. And so all the other little monkeys see him do it, right? Well, so they've got scientists on all these other islands, and all of a sudden, all these other monkeys are doing it because the monkeys are on the same wavelength, right? Mm-hmm. Literally, they can prove this with animals. That's why the birds,
we all are, except I think we managed to cut ourselves off from that. And then we created a way to get back to it, which is technology. But we didn't need that in the first place.
That is not how we get back to it. We get back to the way you teach it. We get back to it with our connection to source.
Through technology.
Well, okay. I buy that one just because we get to talk like this, right? But it has nothing to do with AI. It has nothing to do with, do not put those brain chips in your brain, people who's ever listening to this. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that there's instant communication, right? So I think that's the reason we're going to save ourselves this time, because there's instant communication between me and you and other people that feel this way. And that
what does saving ourselves look like is what I want to hear your perspective
on. Oh, good. It means we step into our true selves. We understand that we are spiritual beings having this human experience, that we are here. We came at this particular time. We all volunteered. We're all volunteers. We came at this particular time to wake up humanity, to say we are here to play such a bigger part. We're not going to be controlled by fear and manipulation. And we're going to understand that we have so much more power, you know, than that 1% that's up there. So I just think it means understanding who you truly are, which means we're part of Source. We're individuations of God, of Source. I love Source. That's what you call it, stream. And that we're here to wake everybody up and take everybody with us. And that's to this higher level of literally, we have the technology, we have the energy, and we do have the energy. I was just listening to, I don't know if you know who Greg Braden on, he had this physicist on, that literally 1 cubic centimeter of the ether, of the matrix, of the zero point field, of whatever we want to call it, would literally make this world go around for thousands and thousands of years. Everything is right there. That's what we're here. We're here to wake up and say, we are all connected. We are all part of love. We are not fearing you anymore. We're all here to play a part, and we're going to have all the energy we need. We're going to get people out of poverty. There's no reason we can't desalinize all the water and have all the water we need. And people can get mad at me, but the carbon, this carbon hoax on this climate change, 97% of our weather comes from the sun. We have to have carbon to live. Not that we shouldn't be good about not having pollution and cleaning up our rivers and loving our planet. We're stewards of this planet. But we also have to understand there's other things going out there that are trying to control.
Yeah, that's what the stream has said, that you could, there's nothing wrong with not trashing your planet.
Oh, no, we need to love it.
Don't think that you're really going to destroy it. The planet would come back to us and destroy us way before we would ever destroy it.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
take a quick break, because I want to dive into that a little bit deeper, because that's a hot topic for a lot of people. We'll be right back with Paula Kidd Casey.
My name is David Strickel, and I channel Source Consciousness, known as The Stream. When I decided to start channeling publicly, I didn't want to copy what anyone else had already done. Source consciousness is Source consciousness, so I believe we're all channeling really the same thing. My intentionality behind it was to strip my ego away as much as possible and allow pure source to flow, and to teach in such a way that you could actually apply the teachings in your life. They're not just these heady ideas. And from those intentions, the Taya practice was born.
But the thing here is, we have something that is so magical. We're talking about streaming infinite intelligence, like source energy, but at the same time, grounding that in what's my mindset, what choices am I making about how I'm going to respond to this situation, so that I can create space, create that stopgap to transcend the charges here and no longer be a slave to them. And I think that's really, really powerful indeed.
I started following you and really getting much more acclimated to what you were offering. That was much different than what I've ever heard. I mean, I've never heard anybody stream like that, because I wasn't really I wasn't really familiar with Abraham Hicks as much as I am now, but it kind of led me on that path to really seeing what kind of what kind of guidance we really can get. And it was truly something that shook me to my core.
Having that sense of complete and utter, not just trust, it goes beyond trust to absolute knowing that the universe is absolutely there for just waiting for us to line up with this, and just to let ourselves get out of our own way and just flow with this beautiful process, with this sense of trust and knowing.
Before I would have the fear factor in it. Now I don't. I always, like David says, just say the universe pampers me, and it has been.
There's a community of manifestors. There's a community of people that aren't ashamed to bring amazing things into their lives and don't have to downplay it or make excuses for it, that we can all make magic. There's plenty of abundance in this world.
I've always done a dream journal, and now instead of just getting little tidbits of like, oh, I have this channeled message, I'm getting pages and pages and pages every single day channeling Source with messages that are helping me in ways that I never thought possible.
Taya gives you the tools to exit the matrix and allow universal law to be your chief operating system in your life.
So the spiral work for me was the biggest missing piece to the puzzle. I've been a meditator for many years, but I'd be great at it, but I'd come out of my meditation and I'd be like, ah, like life. And so for all the hours that I wasn't meditating, I was like a mess. Not always, but sometimes. But so the spiral work really allowed me to have control of all those other hours of my day where I wasn't meditating, which is huge.
I created Taya Bootcamp as sort of a laboratory, a place to take the stream's ideas. And I turned all of those ideas into a practice for myself first. And then I turned that into a course that I could teach to other people. And we have found over the last 6 years that there is alchemy in those modules that we created back in 2018. You move through those modules, and yes, you need coaching and support and community and accountability and all of those things to be able to successfully move through those modules. But as you move through the modules, you transform. The modules will transform you.
What I learned also through Taya was really being, in the controlling and the wanting is really that resistance, and it's actually pushing the things that we want away.
You've done the work to get your mind to this place to where you are ready to receive this information and ready to operate your life outside the matrix. So if this intrigues you at all, book a session. There is no risk or obligation in booking a session. We are not going to force you to do something that you're not ready to do. We are going to discuss your readiness for this practice. We're going to let you know exactly what it's all about, what it's going to require of you, and you decide whether this is the right thing for you or not.
It is a practice that, if you do forever, will fundamentally change your life.
We are back with Paula Kidd Casey. Do you still go by the Lawyer of Attraction?
I do. I'm the Lawyer of Attraction.
I love that.
Thank you. Do you still have your podcast? What?
Do you still have your podcast?
No, I don't have my podcast, but I do have my book, The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction. I'm writing a new one called The Currency of the Universe, which, of course, we all know it's just vibration. And
Lawyer of Attraction on Amazon is a good place to go find your books.
Yes.
Or Paula Kidd Casey.
Paula Kidd Casey on Amazon, or PaulaKiddCasey.com is my website. I have my podcast on Spotify under Paula Kidd Casey. So yes, I'm around.
Okay. And the links, we'll have all the links in the show notes for this for all your stuff.
Okay, so tell me what the stream thinks about climate change.
So what the stream says about climate change is very much in alignment with what you were just saying. Don't buy into the conspiracy, the world's going to end part of it, because that's fear-mongering. It lowers your vibration. All of that fear is going to create more things to support the fear, right? And then we're going to blame it on something. With that said, there's nothing wrong with using our brain and technology to pollute less, to not bury garbage and throw garbage in the ocean, clean up, stop polluting and start cleaning up and paying attention to, you know, how much polluting we're doing. There's nothing wrong with that. The Earth environment, however, is meant to sustain whatever we offer to it.
Absolutely.
So, it's all created from Earth. Even if it's considered synthetic, it's created from Earth. So how could it be wrong from Earth? We're not bringing something in from somewhere else, introducing it to this environment and poisoning the environment. You know, the poison is made right here at home. And so the Earth environment can process it. Even if it takes a long time to process it, the Earth environment can. So we can't get that wrong. But discerning a preference to pollute less, I live in Southern California, and you go into LA and there's so many cars on the road with emissions that, yeah, there's smog everywhere. We can choose to not do that. I don't necessarily think electric vehicles are the answer that people think they are.
No, I don't either. I live in Kansas. It's too cold. They quit. It's just crazy, you guys. It's going to be crazy when these electric vehicles
do that. Well, and I wish it were a solution, but my question is, where's the battery coming from and where's the power?
Oh,
where's the electricity coming from? If you can get it from solar and plug your little electric car in and you're completely self-sustaining, I think that's great. And you should do that. I'm not saying there shouldn't be electric cars. I like the idea of choice. I'm a car guy. I have a V8. It gets about 12 miles per gallon. I love it. Smooth. It roars. You know, it's got everything that I need. Will it outrun a Tesla from a red light? Well, I'm not racing anybody. I'm not 12 years old.
Who cares?
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. All my neighbors have Teslas, though. Everybody has a Tesla on this block.
Just but I think everybody everybody needs to look at what they do instead of what they say. So you look at the elite, and they just flew 1,000 jets to Davos, right?
Well, it's a virtue signaling thing. You know, I'm saving the planet, but I'm flying a private jet, or I have 10 houses, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's okay to have 10 houses and fly a private jet, but don't do that while you're preaching to other people what they shouldn't be doing.
And people need to understand that carbon is essential to us. We're carbon beings. And so when we put off carbon, that is what the plants live on, and then they put off oxygen.
Well, the stream does say that, again, the Earth environment is self-sustaining. There's nothing we can do that's going to kill the Earth environment. So stop, you know, if you want to go down the conspiracy theory of that, you can, but you don't have to, because anything that instills fear is trying to lower your vibration.
Absolutely.
Including this deep state stuff. I think you can look at that and say, oh my gosh, there's a huge political conspiracy, you know, to control humanity. And it may even be true. And I'm sure on different levels, it absolutely is. I think the banking system and money, I think all of that is, you know, controlled in a conspiracy type manner. But fearing it and judging it powers it. We can take the power away by not fearing it or judging it, Absolutely. Not ignoring it. I don't believe in bypassing. I don't think we should ignore it. View it in appreciation of what it is, how it is, and it becomes benign.
Okay, because we've now turned on the light and we see it, but we've got to not ignore it. And I don't fear it. Once you know something is there and you understand how powerful you are as a...
But the demonization too.
But I don't demonize it. I just say...
Okay, not demonizing it.
I feel sorry for the people that have played into that, right?
See, I don't. I think they're having their experience.
Well,
it's... I think they're just having their experience. I look at if we're talking politics, and we can do that.
Left and right,
they're all having the far left, the far right are all having their experience. They're all very much polarized in their belief system. I'm right, you're wrong. You know, the people on the right call everybody, everyone that isn't them is woke. I'm sure they would label me as woke, and I think that's hilarious.
I wouldn't label you as woke, and I'm a good labeler, so I wouldn't label you.
Well, and if they label me as woke, I don't, you know, it doesn't matter to me. If you want to label me woke, that's fine. But, you know, define woke, and I'll tell you whether that fits me or not, then you do what you want.
Well, I hate labels anyway. But honestly, we talked about this before we started recording. The answer is so far above, and I've got my little hands up if I don't know. It's so far above left or right or conservative or liberal. But I think the fact that we've had more opportunities and more things to look at in the last however many years since 2016 has awakened people to, we didn't even know there were choices, right? We didn't see some things that should have been there. We didn't see how controlled our lives were. You know, how weird is it we can, after 9/11, so I'm an attorney. I know how hard it is to write legislation. So 2 days after 9/11, they bring in the Patriots Act. Like, that thing had not been planned before.
A very unvetted, overreaching. Absolutely.
It was immediate. I'll get you in fear and you will.
Yeah, you're terrified right now. So we're going to take away more of your rights and your terror, and you're going to let us do it. Yeah.
And we never even think about, let's take our shoes off now. Now we have to be patted down. Okay. We do have amendment. We do have rights to privacy. We never once question it because they had us in fear.
Yeah.
Right. When you understand that, you can play their game, but I'm not fearing you anymore. Right. And that's what they're most afraid of, is that we figure out. I don't hate them. I don't.
Yeah. When you pull the fear away and you're not fearing them and not getting drawn back, because judgment's another form of fear, though, that whole we have to stop you. Well, I think, again, that's fueling it. It becomes benign and dies off on its own when we pull our attention away from it. You can be aware of it, but the harsh judgment of it, that's more fuel, though. And that's where I think a lot of people, it'll be prolonged if we keep that up, because we're waking up. TikTok is an amazing, amazing vehicle that is trying to be shut down by the government as well right now, because there's so much freedom of information on there. During COVID, I just fell in love with it. I'm like, I'm learning things. I am learning so many interesting things watching these videos. And there's a lot of stupid shit on there too. I know that. But it was a really interesting vehicle, because you can put something out there and the algorithm is such that it can blow up. I had a TikTok blow up last week, and it's talking about all the things that we're talking about right now.
Well, and I found
my TikToks usually get a couple thousand views. This one's at 200,000.
I found
that doesn't happen on Instagram and Facebook. The same video didn't blow up on those platforms.
I found you on my conspiracy theory channels. I just want to tell you that you now.
I have my big Q hat on.
Okay, so I just want to say that when you fight the deep state, you just give them, even if you acknowledge that they're there, you just give them more power. But you do have to acknowledge that there's something nefarious going on. Right. There's something that.
Well, that's the appreciation piece. You understand what they're all about.
Right.
Understanding. Appreciation is understanding. I understand what you're up to. I don't have to fear or judge you for it. But just knowing what someone is up to makes it benign. You're removing it from your vibration, essentially.
And then what we do is we step into our own power. We stay in the present moment. How can we be the better people? How can we connect to a higher self? How can we get out this ripple of energy? There's so much. I don't know, the Heart Math Institute out in California. Oh, you're in California. I mean, it is an amazing institution. It's very scientific, but they measure your heart, electromagnetic energy from your heart. And positive energy goes out thousands more time than negative energy. So us being the ripple and staying in this high vibration, which is what you teach, is what's going to make all the difference. They want us to fight them. And when I mean they, I mean there are particular people. And when you don't fight them, there's nothing, you know, there. Once we all stand up, those few people cannot do it anymore. We've been complacent, right? We've been complacent. And we comply with everything they tell us to do. Take your shoes off, and I'll probably get kicked off a plane after this. They tell us to do something and we're complacent and we do it and we think we have to do it. And I think COVID woke us all up, right? That there was something not right there. And we had to start asking questions. And I
think it was that matrix amping up its control, because we were waking up, COVID happened, and it was sort of, we're going to lock you down and get you back under control. And for some people it did. And for others, TikTok just happened to come along. You know, TikTok wasn't invented to be what it was supposed to be, a music app where somebody came on and played a song and then somebody could sing along with them and duet. And it was really created, from my knowledge, I'm not an expert on TikTok, it was created for that. And then suddenly during COVID, people grab hold of this and started using it just to create these short videos and sharing ideas. And then it blew up in this big idea sharing platform. And now it's, you know, possibly being banned.
Although I just saw Rumble's going to buy it. I just saw that.
Well, I look at 170 million users. There's too much commerce there to have it go away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. I'm not terribly worried about that. But it is interesting that, you know, there are people moving to try to ban something that has so much free speech on it.
And you don't believe in the deep state?
I'm not saying I don't believe in it. I'm saying I'm not going to give it any power by fearing and judging it, even more than I'm going to give it, you know, Trump power by fearing and judging him. Most of the people that I know in my social life are very anti-Donald Trump. And I have lost friends, and I've had no problem losing friends because they went after other people with torches because they were Trump supporters. And I was willing to be friends with everyone. Like, I know Trump supporters.
I'm a Trump supporter.
You're one. I was going to say, you're one of them. And I adore you and I don't judge you for it. Why would I? So why say somebody's wrong in their belief system when we all operate in a belief system? And this is just another one. When Trump got elected, instead of going down the path of fear, I looked at it. What can I appreciate about this man?
And nothing bad happened when Trump got elected. We did not start a war. Our economy got better. We were independent on our oil production.
I think he did a lot of good things, and that I saw a lot of things that were happening to the economy that were very positive. And then boom, COVID hits.
And he still gets back up. And we can talk about why COVID hits. We can talk about that was an intentional thing. We may get kicked off. I don't even know.
Well, everything is vibrational.
Yes.
And I don't know anyone that's limiting my podcast based on what we share here. But everything is vibrational. So of course, there's going to be a plus and a minus to everything. I in the beginning, the way he was not fearful about COVID, I liked that he wasn't, you know, like, let's not fear monger. Let's don't go crazy. Let's do all of that. And then there were things that he did that I agreed with and things that I didn't necessarily agree with. The country moved into a state of turmoil, absolutely, toward the end of his presidency. And that was the hyperpolarization that I saw. So I am not a supporter nor a deflector of Trump's influence. I think it's very interesting, and it shook things up quite a bit. And before that, a president was always going to be this sort of plastic,
right?
You know, facade of a person.
He's not presidential.
He's not presidential. And one of the things that I appreciated was that he was not presidential.
Right.
He said what he thought, no matter what. And I said, okay, this is my path to appreciating this man. Because if I don't want him to be president and I am talking about how horrible and awful and terrible, I'm fueling what I don't want. So why bother? And besides, I don't give politics that much power in my life. I'm really to the point now where I don't give it any power in my life.
Well, and I think that we're still in reality, and that's still part of the reality. But
people get tripped up because they think about, well, what about everybody else? You know, don't you care about the other people? And what I have come to the realization in all of these years of streaming is everyone is here on their own journey. They are having their experience, and it is not my, it's only my ego that wants to help someone out of their experience. Source is not asking that of us, because Source is saying, you're here having your experience, you have suffered, and you have moved through your suffering and been better for it. Why not allow others to do the same, understanding that your judgment of their suffering isn't ending it? You're probably contributing to it, if anything.
Well, and I think getting out of judgment is you have your spiral in the Taya practice, and I took his, and it was wonderful. And I would encourage anybody that they wanted to take boot camp. God, that was years ago. You just started it, right? But David Hawkins wrote Power versus Force and Letting Go, and it talks about the spiral. And judgment is a very low vibration, right? Mm-hmm. And when we get out of that, there's so much more freedom, because it's only, what am I here to do? What can I do? I'm not playing in your sandbox. I don't care what you do. I would invite people to do their own research on what Trump literally says and how his people act, because they are kind and loving, and there's tens of thousands of them at his rallies, and there were like 150 at Biden's. There is a lot of positive energy and a lot of positive change. And I think the hate toward him is so that you can't even get to look at what his policies are. So I would just invite people to do their own research and not judge either side. I'm not judging either side. I just think we have.
I think the detuning of judgment is powerful. If you really want the country to heal, the healing is going to be found in the common ground again, where we used to be more than we are now. It's gotten more divided. But the problem is that old common ground was sort of a facade. Everybody just sort of went along. I remember my grandmother. She was born in the 1920s. And I remember, well, whoever the president is, I could not tell you to this day. She was probably a Democrat because she was an old Southerner. I don't know. Today, she'd be a Republican. I know that. But she.
Yay,
she
was, grandma.
She was very, very benign. She was, and it wasn't, you know, she always complained about the president. But she was of that generation that it doesn't matter who the president is. You respect and obey them because it's the president. Well, that's gone. That's long gone now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing that's long gone, because I don't want to just blindly follow somebody because they have a title. But I also don't want to demonize either side, because there are truths and benevolence and bullshit on both sides.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that we need to do your own research and look at what you want. And literally, I think when everybody steps into their own power, and by that I mean get quiet, get in within, right? The kingdom of heaven is within, and connect to whatever you call it, right? That's where your power comes. And then you don't have to go out and defend anything or judge anything, or you just love, right? And I think that it's coming to that. I'm older than you are. I'm 71. I mean, you know, so I remember a lot more than you do.
I find the older I get, the more I forget, though.
I have an excellent memory. Just remember that, David.
She never forgets. And for those of you that can't see her, she looks amazing. 71 or whatever age.
Oh, thank you.
Paula looks amazing, always.
Thank you. But, you know, I got to tell you, I'm so excited for what's coming. I'm so excited that there's so many people that are channeling, you know, and I just want to repeat what we said at the break, that I've known David since 2018, and he and the stream have blended so much. They're one and the same now, on such a wonderful, amazing, loving, energetic level. So I just wanted to tell you that. There was a real definition between David when you, David would go into the trance and the stream. And now it's so much more just fluid.
Well, I've learned from them. And the whole stream of David podcast, I channeled publicly for the very first time on that on this podcast in 2017. So everyone went along that journey of me channeling and learning and growing through the message of the channeling and creating a practice to do so and teaching it to other people. I learned so much more teaching it to other people than I learned myself. That's where the book came from. That the 5 years of teaching boot camp to people from all walks of life all over the world, that taught me so much. And now I'm on the sort of other side of that, where I finally felt like the book was ready for prime time. And I'm getting out and talking about it. And it's a whole different conversation because now I totally get it. Where in the beginning, I would channel one thing and I was still struggling in my ego to grasp and apply it on the other hand.
Right. And I can definitely see that. And I think there's more people that are getting to that higher level of really receiving information from God. We all channel. Right?
Yeah, I think everybody does. It's just what level of allowing are you at in your journey?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, praying is talking to God, but meditation is listening to God. And that's what
a very good point.
That's what we
both
need to
are fine. More. They're both wonderful. But yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. Yes, you're right. And, you know, praying and Greg Braden, who's one of my favorites, he goes, the feeling is the prayer. It's not our words. It's our vibration.
The words can create a vibe, but you can also think and feel a vibe.
Right.
And or just sit and breathe and feel so at peace with the world and yourself and appreciative of exactly where you are. That's the most luxurious. I've said this before. I've been on a private plane. I've been on a yacht. I've eaten caviar. I've done all that shit. And it's lovely. But just sitting in silence and breathing and sort of luxuriating in that being is the most wonderful experience I've ever had.
Because that's home, right?
Right.
Home. We go home.
Right. And that we can all do. If you're sitting in prison or a mental hospital or homeless under a bridge, we all have that available to us.
You know, Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, he was in a concentration camp in World War II. It's an amazing book. It's a short book. But he says the only thing that no one can steal from you is your ability to go with inside and decide how you're going to react to certain circumstances. Nobody can take that away from you. I don't care where you're at. And when we understand that, and that's our power, and that connects us to the power runs to and through us, right? I mean, we are gods, and I'll probably get shot for that one. We're individual.
Well, we're expressions of source. Yeah, we are. Source is in everything. So we are source expressing itself and in a very, very sophisticated way in this environment, which is being part of humanity.
And we, as human beings, have that spirit of God in us. And that is why we are so powerful and why they have to get us to fear, because when we step into our power, and that's just each one of us understanding that we're these amazing human beings with a soul that can connect to source and have that power, nothing can stop us. And I think it's amazing. And one thing I was just going to say is, you know, we teach most what we need to learn. So that's an old Buddhist saying. And so whoever's out
starting
there
that boot camp was the best. I never thought I was going to do that. And it was a way just to really generate some money while I was trying to figure out how to do this full time and not have to work so I could do it full time. And that was the very best manifestation because it gave me everything that I needed, which part of it was the income from it. Part of it was the interaction and meeting other people. The biggest part of it, though, was the teaching it to other people.
Yes.
And reflecting that learning back in myself to really get me to the place where I'm really ready to teach it now.
Yeah, you internalize it when we teach it, right? People take a 3-day seminar and by Thursday they forget everything you've taught.
Yeah. That's why I want to do experiences, but I've told you before we went on that I was willing to let boot camp die. It hasn't died in all these years. People still come and just we want to enroll. And I finally made peace with this is going to be an ongoing thing. Because immersing yourself into some learning, not necessarily just mine, but a learning experience over a period of time is going to drive more positive change than going and jumping up and down or smoking the peace pipe for the weekend or whatever. I'm doing a hippie camp coming up. I don't know when this podcast is going to be aired, but March 30th of 2024, I'm going to be in Sky Valley, California. I'm only going to be there during the day, but there's a camp out. It's the Soul Good Camp Out, and I call it hippie camp.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a hippie camp. It's like a spiritual camp where they're all going to do all these different kinds of things. So I'm excited about that. So there
and
are people.
Not a hippie.
I'm not a hippie at all.
I
joke about it, saying I'm going to hippie camp, but like there was a picture of like a dude in a loincloth with with a bear skin, like a skin vest on. And I'm like, okay, that's a little different.
Sounds like your people. Sounds like your people. Well, you know, I
will not be in a loincloth.
You know, words don't teach. Experience teaches. And so us teaching is wonderful, but we have to give them things to experience. And I love the fact to get together for retreats, or like you said, you want to get people together, you know, to channel and stuff. But I think planning experiences around that, we internalize the experiences, and you know, words don't teach as much.
Yeah, you got to take the words and the experience and then start applying it when that's not happening in your life.
And one of the things I teach is that we have to change our inner chatter constantly, right? Because we're on autopilot 95% of our day. We don't even remember to think differently. Yeah. So yeah.
When we get a little further in the book, there are tools in the back of the Taya book that teach you.
And there are tools
that teach you how to start catching that stuff and have a system of catching it and changing it. But that's the only way you really change it. You got to catch it in the moment and start to rewrite that stuff. And I know there's all this talk about neural pathways and all that. I like to simplify things as much as possible.
And the simplification of
it is catch it in the moment and rewrite the script as you go. And then pretty soon your new autopilot is more of a positive autopilot.
Absolutely.
That old voice goes away. Yeah.
We can choose. And talking about, you know, like neuroplasticity and neural pathways, you don't have to know that. But a lot of people, since belief is so important in what we teach, if you can tell them that science tells them all this stuff is true, right? Then the more we think
it's helpful, because there's a lot of BS out there and there's a lot of fluff in spirituality for sure. A lot of rainbows and unicorns and all that.
But I think
for people having a scientific confirmation, sometimes if they're not completely over on the faith end of the spectrum, then they need that. And it's okay that they need that.
Absolutely.
For me, I live with a psychologist. So if I come up with some idea, I will go talk to him and say, hey, do you think he will explain to me from a psychological perspective why it will work or not?
And I got to tell you, we got to get people to even open their hearts and heads up to think that this woo-woo shit works, because it does. I was reading this thing, you don't really talk about the law of attraction, because the law of attraction is like gravity. But we have to learn how to harness that to our advantage.
Yeah. Well, usually people that are coming to this have already learned that, understood it, been somewhat frustrated by it, but they know it works. They just want to figure out how to allow it more in their life to work in their favor. Because like you said, it's gravity. It's working all the time. So
I love that you use the word trust in here. Right. Which is part of trust your abundance. Right.
That's part of Taya's trust your abundance. That's what.
Right. But the word trust is really important, because that is out of fear. You're not in fear anymore. You're not even in hope anymore. This is a total trust and faith. And it's a completely different way. Faith is such an important aspect. And we can't get the people to that if we don't give them, you know, we don't want blind faith. We want faith based on experiences and knowledge and science and connection with source and stuff. So I love the fact
where your experience really serves you is when you get rid of the judgment of the should not be. As long as you're labeling something should not be, you're keeping the negative part of that alive, and you're not reaping the benefits from it, most likely, because you're so stuck in the should not be. And the world, humanity, is really, really addicted to should not be.
But that's where
I want to get away from is, okay,
so we're waking up,
but we're not going to say it should not be. We're going to say the deep state structure moved us out of it.
Right. It's a polarity.
It was formed, and we've moved out of it because we recognized it. We didn't judge it. We saw it for what it was, and we chose not to play in that anymore.
And polarity is so important. We have to have what we don't want to shine a light on what we do want. So that's
where the trust comes in, right? Because you're not going to just manifest everything that you want all the time. And then when the vibe drops and you manifest some crap in your life, the only way through it is trust. Trusting that this is an experience, this too shall pass, right? This is an experience that I'm going to move through, and there'll be a brighter day tomorrow. That got me through surgery. You know, that whole surgical experience could have been terrible. I'd never had surgery. I'd never been in the hospital. They wheeled me into this room, Paula, that had this weird strappy contraption that I was going to be flipped upside down, and turned out to be for 7 hours during surgery. And I could have looked at that.
Because they were operating on your back.
I know. But I mean, you just think you're going to be in a nice little bed like on TV, right? It's not that. It's this crazy ass looking torture chair. Here's the crazy thing. A month before my surgery, my father died from COVID.
I didn't know that. I'm so sorry.
Yes. My father passed away in September last year. So September, I had my surgery a month later, October 10th. I think almost to the day, 30 days. My father was terrified of COVID. He took every vaccine, every precaution. You know, he was 84. He wasn't healthy. He got it and died anyway. But they did put him on the ventilator. My stepmother said that that was their agreement. We all said, that's fine. You know, this, we don't have any problem with that, that you agreed to do this. So he went on the ventilator to give him a chance. And in the ventilator, he was intubated and he was inverted. He was upside down. And I saw that and I thought, how odd that my father just died having been taken from life support, being suspended upside down, intubated. And now I'm being intubated and suspended upside down 30 days later.
But yours was a different outcome.
I know, but it's just, I thought it was cool. When I say odd, I don't mean it was scary. I mean, that's really interesting.
Like that was the beginning, the end, and yours is the beginning. It's a different way to look
at it. Yeah, I love my surgery. That's the best thing I've ever done is have the back surgery. And I wasn't terrified of it at the time. I just thought it was interesting. Interesting that I'm going to be in the same position as my father 30 days later. He just had this experience. I didn't judge his experience as bad or wrong. You know, after he died, I found out what an amazing life he actually had. He had a whole other life as a principal, that he had hundreds of people show up to his service talking about how amazing he was. And my brother and I are looking at each other thinking, well, we didn't get that version of him, but I'm glad somebody did.
Isn't that amazing? Same person, same everything. So did you and he ever get back together?
He left when I was six. He married my stepmother. They had a daughter. That kind of became his family. My brother and I were kind of disconnected. We didn't have.
I knew you were estranged from him.
Not totally estranged. I mean, there's never been a year of my life that he was alive that I didn't interact with him. Okay. But we weren't close. I wasn't the son that he wanted me to be. And he wasn't the father that I, you know, probably should have wanted him to be. But I just never had any expectations there. And I've detuned that a long time ago. So I was very at peace with his passing. And I was at peace with my mother's passing. But that's all the work that I had done leading up to all of that. So it wasn't a sad experience. It was a beautiful going there and being in the presence of my whole family for the first time in 30 years, probably, and meeting all these people that thought so highly of him. For my brother is a lot like me, but he's Christian. He's very Christian, but we come together so easily and say, you know, it's nice that he was so wonderful and impacted all of these kids that he taught when he kind of ignored the two that brought into the world. But we were both like, at least somebody got you. This is great to hear that he was so beloved. It was a lovely, lovely experience.
And, you know, psychologists will tell you, we all view, and we know that, our reality from our own set of eyes.
Yeah.
And siblings growing up in the same house have completely different memories of what their parents did.
Yep.
Right.
We talk about that in the first book. It's just your recollection. That the only way anything lives on is in how you recall it and how you're choosing to view it.
And it doesn't exist anymore, you guys. It's just a memory.
It exists in your mind. And if you keep doubling down on the I was a victim, it was terrible, it was the worst thing ever, I'm changed for the worse forever, then that's going to continue to be your reality, but it doesn't have to be.
Well,
but look how much our society promotes victimhood. Oh, that's terrible. That should have never happened. That's awful. That person was a monster and you were a victim. Stay there is what they're saying.
And the reason they do that is because if you're a victim, that means something outside of you caused it.
Well, and if your vibration is lower, you're more pliable. Yes. Compliancy is the whole purpose of all of this.
So, do not comply. But, you know, Harvard has a study that says 50% of what we remember isn't true. We make this shit up anyway.
Mandela effect,
Why don't we make it up to our advantage? Because honestly, the only thing we have is the present moment. The past, that we usually think in anger or regret. The future is always fearful because we really do always have worst case scenario because we want to know we can control it when we get to that, right? So we live in fear or anger unless we live right here in the present moment, and then we're connected to source when we do that. And that's when you trust stuff, when you know it happens. How do you tell people to trust if they've had situations like you did? Right.
Well, that's what the tools are for. That all of these tools that are in TAIA are things that I created for myself, not following anybody else's program or anything. This is just inner stuff that I did that allowed me to process it. And what I mean, process it, I mean, move through it. It was terrible. It was awful. I was a victim. It stunted me. It damaged me. Maybe I should understand them deeper. Maybe I should look at this differently. This has been painful and limiting for too long, and I'm tired of it. I want to solve it. What's the solving power? The solving power is to stop demonizing, detune the transgressor. And then all of a sudden it completely shifts. I don't remember my mother as a, and I'll recount stories of her being, you know, crazy and saying awful things and all that and being physically abusive and mentally, but that's just for context. I don't remember my mother that way at all. I remember my mother being a rather sad individual who had a rather low vibrational life. That's what she chose. And I don't think that I was shortchanged in the parental department at all. My mother and my father, all they owed me was my entry to planet Earth. They gave me that gift. Everything else was up to me. Even from toddler, it was all up to me. And I made a series of choices. And here I am 56 years later.
And when you go back and you have gratitude for all of that, it changes your entire life. If you look at it differently, your life has now looked differently.
Yeah, all the victim crap is gone. And there's no excuse for me not having and being and doing everything that I want to be. Because for a while, I was like, well, I'm never going to be able to do that because, you know, my mother wasn't, and I didn't have money to go to college and nobody cared about my school, you know,
blah, all of that blah, crap. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that was, I got rid of that shit early on. I'm like, well, Gator, guess what? This is reality. If you're not going to go live under a bridge and you're not going to be a drug addict, and you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, you know, those were not my preferences, then you need to find a way forward. And the way forward was, I need to quit worrying about all that crap, take the tools and the gifts that I've had and move forward. I will end, we have to wrap up, but I'm going to end on something. As a staunch Republican, you're going to love this.
All right.
When I hear about talk, and again, this is how this younger generation, I see them sort of getting, and not just the younger generation, but everybody on the left, which most of the people I know socially are that. All of this talk about how minimum wage needs to be raised, the minimum wage, and it's got to go up, it's got to go up. You can make minimum wage $100 an hour. I'm fine with that. Fine. And whatever the fallout is from that, I'm fine with that too. I will work it out. I do not recall, Paula, as a kid, when minimum wage was $3.20 an hour, which is what I started working for.
$1.25.
Never occurred to me that they need to raise that. What occurred to me was I need to figure out how to find a job, find work that pays more.
Yes.
How do I find something? And it was like a little checkerboard, right? I'm going to move. I'm young and strong. I'm going to move furniture, which is probably how my back got messed up. Then I'm going to cut grass. And then I'm going to do, and I'm making more money than I did at Wendy's. And now I'm going to get into, I have a charming personality. I'm going to get into sales. Great way to make money if you can. I got into sales. And then I realized that my charm could also be used in the workplace to get people to come together to do things that needed to be done. I'm going to get into leadership. And then I got into, you know, general management. Then I got into executive leadership. Boom, 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 boom. $325 to $500,000 a year, you know, in my working career, because I never once thought somebody else needs to do this for me.
I agree. Because they're looking for the answers outside of themselves. And when we understand that we can do anything we want to, we don't have to make everybody else do something else.
Yeah, don't get drawn into the narrative that you need the government to do something for you. You're probably going to be disappointed.
And you don't believe in the deep state, huh? Well, that's who the government is.
I'm not saying, I've never once said I don't believe that's true. I'm saying I'm not giving it any power.
Telling you, it's going away soon. So I love your vibrational spiral graphic. I know we may not be on, but...
No, we're on. We're coming up on the hour. But yeah, the graphics in there hopefully make sense of what my goal in our teachings is always take the stream's message, which really is appreciation of all things, period.
Right.
And create a system for humans to work their way out of this matrix if they choose to and make it as simple as possible. You know, there's so many people out there using a lot of heavy science. And again, if you need science, that's your vibe, probably. That's your lane. I want to simplify it so that people can have simple tools so that it's not so damn frustrating to start working your way out of it. That's what I'm all about.
And here's
let's wrap up with what you're all about, Paula.
Well, yeah. So I teach a class. I teach women in the second chapter of their lives to discover and create their ideal career and future. So I was 50 and I decided I didn't want to be an attorney anymore. And so I started on this new path. And when I was 65, I retired being an attorney. And now I teach this. I teach my classes and I write books and I do speeches and I get my message out. And my message is that we're just these amazing individuations of spirit. We can do anything we want to. We do not let anybody tell us we're too old or it's too late because we got a whole nother chapter of our lives to write. And that's my passion, is to do that. And I just love talking to David. And he's always been a bright spot in my life. And I think that the whole trick here is to make people even aware that this is possible, right? That for them to go down the hole with you or to go with me, a lot of people don't even think it's possible. They don't think the whole nother life is possible. They think they keep their heads down, they do what they're told, they comply. And, you know, do not comply. Keep your head up. Understand how powerful you are. And David and I would love to walk you home. All right. We're all just walking each other home. Ram Dass is saying, who I love him. So
always good to have you, Paula. Come back soon.
Thank you. I hope you put my contact information underneath here so they can find me.
I will. Of course I will.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on. And I hope I haven't caused a riot out in California.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening. Come to Hippie Camp.
Thank you for listening to the Stream of David podcast. To learn more about the Stream or the Taya practice, visit thestreamofdavid.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast via your favorite podcast provider. If you would, take a moment to leave us a review. And also, follow us on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, and join our free Facebook group, The Taya Practice, The TYA Practice. Thanks for listening.